Well, hey guys, we're in Romans chapter 2 today. We're continuing through this series. And as we have said, it is a very kind of painful, hard series to be working through. These first couple chapters of Romans, it really hits the ground hard on God's wrath, on God's judgment. But yet it's very clear that when God uses his judgment, when God's wrath is revealed, Romans 1:18, when it is revealed, it is righteous. It's the right thing, okay? You don't want to sit around worrying about God throwing lightning bolts at people arbitrarily, just messing stuff up. I've heard a lot of people say that kind of thing this year during COVID and shutdowns and stuff, saying, you know, well, God's mad, God's doing whatever. You know what? Maybe so. I mean, he did send a flood in the book of Genesis, but Romans says that God's wrath is revealed when our unrighteousness starts to just run amok. And honestly, that's been the major theme of this year, is human unrighteousness. This virus is nothing. Man, you want to talk about plagues that God sent, judgments of God? They're in the Bible. God does send plagues. That's a thing. But this year, the biggest hardship has been the shutdowns, has been the rioting, has been the you're not essential, you're not allowed to go to work. You're out of a job and you're depressed. Now you're going to turn to depression and all the stuff that comes with it. The issues of this year have been almost entirely caused by humankind. Almost entirely. Don't blame the virus. It's ridiculous. All right. Bad behavior is bad behavior. And the wrath of God is clearly revealed. All right, so anyway, God's judgment is true and it's real. It's not fun to think about. It's not our favorite topic, of course, but it's extremely important. You forget that God is a righteous judge, and man, that's who he is. I mean, he's loving, he's merciful, but he is a righteous judge, and we cannot ever forget that. And I think people are thinking about it more right now. Certainly ought to be. Can't forget it. God is slow to anger, but he does. He has righteous anger, and when the time comes, and God knows the time, you and I don't. So anyway, verse 6, he's going to render to each one according to his works. For those who by patience in doing well seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Meaning, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish, if you're God's chosen people or not, God will judge you righteously based on who you are, not who somebody else is, okay? For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, and their conscience also bears witness. Their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. That's where we'll stop. That's verse 16. God's going to judge, period, is the theme of these verses. He is going to judge. He's going to judge righteously, and it's going to happen, and there is no escaping it, and there is no excuse for it, and there is no way around it, and he will judge you based on who you are and what you've done with your life. Oh, but what about the people who never heard? That's a common question. I have told you, I say it repeatedly, Romans answers almost every major question people ask. What about people who never heard? That's what it says. Those who sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Okay? Gentiles who do not have the law. The law just means the laws of God. Right here. They don't have it. Okay? What about those people who don't have it? Gentiles do not have the law, but by nature they do what the law requires. They're a law to themselves, even though they do not have it. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. Their conscience also bears witness. Okay, and they God has written the law, the right and wrong, the laws of good and evil on your heart, on every human heart, everybody. Okay? There's no excuse. Find me a person anywhere in the history of the universe who believed that telling lies is always right and telling the truth is always wrong. Find me anybody like that. You can't. Find me anybody who thinks that selfishness is always right. Always, every time. And that giving and caring for others is always wrong. Find me somebody who is against love. You can't. It's written on the human heart. We're all in favor of these things. You might find somebody who says there's no such thing as evil, so punch them in the face and then see what they say. Hey, why'd you punch me in the face? That was wrong. I just thought you said there was no such thing as wrong. It's simple. Everybody knows good and evil. Don't actually punch them in the face. Just ask them, oh, if there's nothing wrong, then why couldn't I punch you in the face? Okay, I'm making a point. All right? People will say there's no such thing as right and wrong, but everybody lives as though there is right and wrong because there is. Now, secondly, as a direct attachment to that, everybody knows right and wrong, and everybody does what's wrong often, even knowing it's wrong, including me and including you. All right? And that's what this is about. There's no such thing as the person who never heard. Everybody has heard. Everybody knows it's written on their heart. Now, there's a lot of people who have never heard the name of Jesus. And that's a problem that the people who do know the name of Jesus need to fix. Well, what about those people who never heard about Jesus? Have I not commanded you? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go into all the nations and teach them about Jesus. That's the purpose. So what about those people? Yep, it's a tragedy, and God has put it in our hands to fix that tragedy. So what about them? God cares about them. He sent me and you to tell them. Okay? So that question is answered. It's not some mystery question that's impossible to answer. Number one, everybody knows right and wrong. Number two, everybody commits sin, even knowing it's wrong. Number three, God sent his son, and his son Jesus died, took the penalty of sin, resurrected, and brings followers with him, and he tells his followers to make sure there aren't anybody out there who doesn't know Jesus. Make sure that the name of Jesus is known, all right? That's built in. That's the last stuff Jesus said, all right? So our job is to make sure they know. But listen, isn't it reassuring that God did put the laws of good and evil on the human heart? Okay, if we didn't come from God, and there are a lot of people who believe that you and I didn't come from God, that God didn't create us, that we're not created in his image, that we don't have an eternal purpose, that we don't have any divine nature to us at all, that we are a random chance event, biological event that has occurred that has no meaning and no moral value to it. There are a lot of people who believe that. There are a lot of people who teach that. If your kids are in a public school or public university, and a lot of Christian schools and Christian universities too, for that matter, chances are they are being taught that this school year, that they are just a biological event that has happened at random, and as a result of billions of years of death, has led to them. And guess what? We have a culture, especially a young person culture, that is devoid of all value and that denies good and evil and commits a lot of evil as a result. So you'll see what happens when you go into falsehoods. Isn't it reassuring that the laws of God are written on the human heart? The academics can turn off in any direction they want, like chapter 1 said, and profess to be wise, but become fools, and their minds become futile in their thinking because they don't acknowledge God. They deny the truth of God. They suppress the truth of God. But the truth of God is written on the heart. They can't disprove that. Everybody knows good and evil. Everybody does. Did Hitler know? Yep, Hitler knew good and evil. Absolutely knew good and evil. He chose to do a lot of evil. Did Osama bin Laden know good and evil? Yep, sure did. Chose to do a lot of evil. It's a tragedy. It's horrible. Certainly knew good and evil. They built their entire networks of evil based on pointing at other evils around the world and saying, that's the problem, we need to fix it. They called themselves justice movements. All right? They were wrong, they were corrupting it. But they knew right from wrong. Everybody knows right from wrong. But when you deny the truth of God and exchange it for a lie, your mind becomes futile and empty. Remember, chapter 1, 18 through 24. Go reread it. When you start denying God, you can profess to be wise all you want, and just foolishness will come out. And the best you'll do if you're denying God is you'll have a corrupted idea of right and wrong. But you'll still have an idea of right and wrong. It's written on the heart. It's written on the heart. It's there. The Bible says it's there here in Romans, but it's also a principle that is true. You can go anywhere in the world and ask people, is it wrong to punch somebody in the face? And they will all universally say yes. They might ask, you know, what is there a reason to? You know, if maybe there's a good reason to punch somebody in the face. I don't know. But that's just debating about, that's splitting hairs. Go find any culture in human history and ask them if it's wrong to steal, and they will say, yeah, of course it's wrong to steal. Is it good for parents to love their children? Yes, that's good. That's good across all human history. Right and wrong are written on the heart, and everybody knows right from wrong. Everybody does. There's no excuse. There's no denying it. There's no escaping it. Some people will pretend that evil doesn't exist. They'll go around spreading that kind of idea. They're incorrect. Watch the news any day of the week, any country in the world, any time in history. Watch the news and then try to tell me that evil doesn't exist. Evil absolutely exists. Try to tell me that right and wrong aren't written on the heart. They absolutely are. You're not a random assortment of biological events. You are a moral creature, created person. Creature just means something that's been created, okay? You are one of those. You were created, and you were created by God, and the universe was created by God, and he created you with a purpose, and that purpose is to be his image around the world. Fill the earth and multiply his image so that the world will look more like him and less like Satan and less like hell. All right? Good and evil is written on the heart. When you find evil in your heart, I'm going long, right? They show the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience, the conscience is part of it. Conscience bears witness, okay? The conscience is the basic ability for a human person to know the difference between right and wrong. The conscience is there, giving conflicting thoughts to accuse or excuse them, right? You have a conscience, and sometimes your conscience accuses you, and you kind of realize, you know what? I was wrong on that. I lashed out in a rage and impatience. I acted with selfishness. I was greedy. Whatever. Your conscience will tell you that. You don't need anybody special to come along and tell you. Your conscience knows. And your conscience will sometimes excuse you and say, you know what? I can look back at that situation and glory to God, I didn't do anything wrong. Praise the Lord. Your conscience knows the difference between right and wrong. People can accuse you of falsehoods, and your conscience will kind of, it's a guide. It's a crude guide. It's not the Bible. If you have a Bible, get it open and read it. But look, this is talking about people who don't. All right? Even they know right from wrong, and even they do what's wrong often. And therefore, we all need repentance. We all need forgiveness. We all need the patience of God that we looked at yesterday to lead us to repentance. He gives you time. As long as you're breathing air, as long as you're above ground, that means you have time to repent. And your conscience is going to keep on accusing you. Tap, 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 tap. Your conscience is going to... Sorry, that was probably annoying to watch. Your conscience is going to do that. It's going to be the thing that just says, hey, man, straighten out. Straighten out. You're doing it wrong. That's not the right way to do it. There's good and evil, and you're stepping in the wrong direction. Your conscience is there. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't have anything else, you at least have that. And that alone should be enough to bring you to repentance. You don't know who God is, but you know he's there. You don't know the full details of right and wrong, but you know the basics. So what do? You pray to the God that you do know, and you say, God, have mercy on me, forgive me. And then, you know, I honestly believe anybody in the world who prays that prayer, somebody in the middle of some island has no contact with a missionary who is on their knees to the whatever God they know of, asking for mercy, I truly believe that the God of heaven who is merciful will send the name of Jesus to that person. It happens constantly in these Muslim countries that shut out Bibles and shut out Christians. They just have dreams. God speaks directly to them. Okay, it happens. If you're humbled by your sin in your life and you acknowledge that there is a God, I believe the true God hears that, and he will send people, he will send a dream, he will send whatever, so that you know the name of Jesus. We don't have to worry about that, okay? But typically, he will send a person, an actual missionary who takes a risk, leaves things behind, costs them their lifestyle, costs them everything to go tell them about Jesus. And that's what you and I are called to do if you know Jesus. So praise the Lord. Let's use our time to come to repentance. And let's stop playing games where we deny evil, where we deny right and wrong, where we get goofed up with nonsense like that. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to him before it is too late. Talk to you tomorrow.